Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply. What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
I tell you, my heart is heavy because it has happened again. On September 4th, two high school students and two teachers were killed in Georgia in the deadliest U.S. school shooting of 2024. A 14-year-old student has been charged with the deaths along with that student's father. After a tragic event like this, the one that happened at Appalachia High School, parents, as well as caregivers, are going to play a crucial role in supporting our young people by providing a safe space for open communication as well as emotional expression. I knew that I was going to have that talk with my kids, even though they don't watch a lot of news, especially on the first couple of weeks of school, because we're busy with routine and schedule and after school activities. Brandon and Cameron had walked to the middle school. They go a little bit early. I think check-in time for them is 7:40. So they leave here about 7:15. But Daniel doesn't go to school because he's in the special education program until a little bit later. Around 8:30. And so I had just finished dropping Brandon off at school when I saw that the middle school was doing the drill. All the students were coming outside. They were going to their designated area. And this was the day after the school shooting in Georgia had taken place. And so I know that I don't have what I need to talk to my children properly. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to guide me. I need to know what to say to make sure it's effective, how to answer follow-up questions, because they're going to have many and plenty, and then how to make sure that they're safe in their hearts and in their minds and in their spirits. And so I lean on Brandon Jones. He is the executive director of the Minnesota Association for Children's Mental Health, as well as the host of It's Not Your Fault, a teen mental health podcast. He is joining us now. Brandon, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Now, Brandon, where do we start with our kids? I saw my children doing the drill, and I thought, I got to talk to them. I can't wait till the weekend. It's going to have to be now. I can't shield them from this, but I know when I talk to them, they're going to have anxiety. They're already going to be talking with their friends. They're doing the drill. How do we give them some peace and a feeling of safety and protection when now schools don't feel safe and the children don't feel protected.
Absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we have this happening in our society, and this is a reality. But as parents, caregivers, and, you know, caring adults in general, we have to offer as much reassurance to our kids as we can. We know that we can't offer 100% safety. These things can happen anywhere at any time. Mm-hmm. But it is part of our job and part of our duty to offer that level of comfort for our kids so they can keep doing what they need to do as young people. Go to school, go to the park, have fun, even knowing that this world does have things that can be tragic happen. So offering that safe space, encouraging conversation, I think, is a very important thing to also do during this time. And then also making sure that the way we're responding and the information we're sharing to our children is at an age-appropriate level. Yes, this is a tragedy, but the children in our lives, especially if they're under the age, I would say, of maybe eight or seven, they might not need to know all the gory details. Sometimes just having the basics is just enough for our children. We don't want to overbearing them with so much information, even though it is a national tragedy and it's something that affects our hearts and our minds. And hopefully we'll never have to do this again. But unfortunately, in this society, we may have to. But we want to also give our young people some reassurance that they can live their lives as well.
Brandon, you are a father, podcaster, mental health professional. You said that you see a heightened level of anxiety, panic, and worry, as well as depression in young people. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, a lot of that is driven based off of where this current generation is in their engagement with social media. There is an information overload, I believe, that is out there. We cannot prevent it. I'm going to say that again. We cannot prevent it. We are 100% invested in this. Devices, Wi-Fi, social media, information, it's there. But what we can do is teach our children how to process through some of the information, how to take breaks when necessary, and then also how to ask questions based on what they see. Everything that you come across isn't always the most accurate thing, and you might need some other perspectives on what you are engaging in. And a lot of this is feeding some of this anxiety. A lot of our children are crowdsourcing their self-esteem through social media. They're looking for the likes. They're looking for the identity. They're looking for the belonging and the significance through social engagements online. And what's happening is they're suffering from a more in-person engagement, which means we have to be more intentional about the times that we do have in person and making sure that our kids are getting things that help build their values and help build their well-being habits.
Okay, I want to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want you to talk to me about how do we talk to them? How do we engage them? How do we validate their feelings and allow them to be a part of this healing process without rushing them? That is a crucial conversation that we're going to have with Brandon Jones when we come back. It is 2:17. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. And what is going on is another school shooting in Georgia. Happened earlier this week. And children across the country are having conversation with their parents. How do we talk to them? How do we engage them? How are we going to be a resource for our children without rushing them? And this is what happened to me. I said I was going to wait till the weekend to talk to my kids about it. We don't do a lot of TV during the week, especially the first week of school. So I'm thinking, you know, they're not going to hear about it. They're not going to know about it. And then I saw them walking out of the school doing the drills. And I said, they know. They're talking to their friends. They're asking questions from their teachers. But then when they got home, we had some stuff to do. We had an open house. I had a meeting. I had to record a podcast. We've got groceries and dishes and dinner to cook. And I did what Brandon Jones said, don't do. Don't rush them. Brandon is joining me now, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We're continuing this discussion. Brandon, because you said don't rush through this conversation. This is a very difficult conversation. Our young people want to express themselves. about this disturbing school shooting, but we have to give them some time and space to do that. How do we do that as parents, Brandon, when we still got to do that laundry and we got these groceries and we got stuff to do?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things to encourage parents and caregivers to do, but you have to make the intentional time. And as I said, don't rush. You don't have to talk about every little detail now, and they don't need to have every understanding. But let the conversation just kind of slowly and naturally come to fruition. Talk about the well-being of your children. Talk about how comfortable and safe they do feel at school or in the community. Talk about, do they have any questions? I think one of the biggest things we can do when these situations happen is allow our children to ask questions and to answer those questions. I think a lot of times we are in a position of informing and not in a position of engaging in a conversation. And that conversation is important because young people, they know, a lot of times they understand and know more than we think. They just might not have the full context. So it's important for us to help them paint that picture.
And when we are painting that picture, do we sit them down in the living room and talk? Do we take them out to a restaurant and ask them if they have any questions? You know, how do we start that engagement? Because, Brandon, honestly, for some of us, we don't know the last time we really sat down and had a conversation with our kids. You know, we're rushing from school. We're rushing to soccer. We're rushing to hockey. We're coming home to finish laundry and do the dishes and make dinner. And, you know, they got to bathe and then we got to get ready for the next day. We got homework to do. We ain't talking like we used to. And since we're out of practice, it's hard to get started again.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that this is beyond a tragedy. We have to get back to building the practice of engaging and slowing down. And again, you have to build in the intentionality. I'm not a big fan of making it a event to have this conversation. I don't think that helps with the anxiety. I think that creates a memory of, oh, this bad thing happened. And I remember my parent took me to, you know, the restaurant. We talked about
okay.
it. It doesn't have to be an event. It should be more normalized. Oh, we talked about this while I was cleaning up my room, or we talked about this while we were sitting in the backyard, or we talked about this as we walked to the bus. It should be more normalized because you want to be able to build a healthy habit around engaging around tough conversations with your children. And I think it's okay for those things to take place without making a bigger spectacle of what's already a spectacle in the social narrative.
Brandon, I tell you, you are giving us some good information, some food for thought. For those parents who are out there who know that they have to have this conversation with their children, who realize after listening to our discussion that they can't wait for the schools to have the conversation. They can't wait for the counselors or the social workers who are trained trauma experts. They inform, they care. It's up to us, too, the supportive adults. In their lives, the parents, the grandparents, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, to also be engaging in these discussions. Where do we get started?
I always say start with a question. Did you hear about this? What do you know about it? If you didn't hear about it, have you ever heard about a school shooting? Has anyone at your school ever been hurt by someone? Asking questions, I think, is the best place to start, because that gives you an opportunity to gauge where your child or children may be on their thought process of what has happened and what's going on. And then from those questions, you can ask, do you have any questions? And that can be the conversation started. Now, we are in a space where a lot of young people will say what are their favorite line. I don't know. And then you have to question the I don't know, right? But that's our kids. They don't know because They're so used to just taking what they see on a screen and going with it that they haven't always developed that abstract or that critical thinking. So we have to kind of engage in that. But again, see where they're at as far as their level of understanding, and then inform them at their age-appropriate level, I think, is one of the best things that we can do. But overall, I think the bigger message of our conversation today is we have to start building opportunities to have just conversations that are uncomfortable but important with our kids, and allowing them to know that they can talk to us about anything. You are your child's primary influence. You help shape their worldview. Whether you talk to them or not, you're making an impact, and it's important for you to control some of the engagement of the impact if you can.
And one of the things that you talk about, Brandon, a lot of times is for us to pick up on those clues, because our young people may not be able to verbalize that. And some of the clues that you've informed me about when I was trying to make sure that my kids were okay, and looking at them and listening to them, even when they're not talking, is, you know, if shower habits are changing, sleeping habits are changing, those are things that, you know, we don't think really twice about. But when you look up and say, this boy ain't bathed in 4 days, what is going on? That may be something that we need to be looking out for. That may be a sign. Can you talk to me about that? Because when you informed me about it, it was a game changer for me and my family. And I want to make sure that other parents out there have that same information that you provided to me.
Absolutely. Typically, parents know their kids best. Because you see them every day, right? You know when they're going to go get that snack or ask for it. You know when they're going to ask you, can they be on the device? You know when they're going to throw the fit. Like, you're paying attention. So anytime you notice a drastic shift, and what I mean by drastic is like complete change for what normally is going on, that's usually a telltale sign that something is happening. So are they eating more than they normally eat? Is it a growth spurt? Or is there something going on with them where they're over consuming on snacks and food? Are they sleeping more or less than they normally sleep? Are they staying up overnight more? Or are they going to bed sooner? What's happening? And then always paying attention to their body too. You know, are they going through puberty? Are they developing? Because sometimes that can be a part of it too. But if you don't think it's that, then you're just like, okay, what's going on? What are they processing? Because they will not always verbalize it. They will act out the behavior and the feelings. So I always point out to that, and hygiene is one of the biggest tools. Now, kids aren't the best at their hygiene. I don't know too many kids that like to brush their teeth. I don't know too many kids like to brush their hair. I don't know a lot of kids who want to take a bath. You almost have to force them to get into those habits sometimes. But it's important to pay attention. Are they doing those things? And when they are consistent at doing things, if they ever stop, that's when you notice, okay, something's happening here. And then that's when you have to step in and kind of lean in as the authority figure to say, hey, let's get these things together. Let's move forward. But when it comes to school shootings, though, this is one of the patterns that I would highly recommend that people pay attention to. If you notice that the young person in your life is hyper-focused on the details and information of the event, that may be a sign of concern, because now they could be what the psychological term is called trauma bonding, but they could be over-invested in this information. And that could be doing something for them. So pay attention. How are they consuming the understanding of what's happening? Are they over consuming in it? Because that may be also a concern that, okay, they are taking this and they are applying it to their life a little bit more than we would want them to.
Now, Brandon, I know you do trainings. Folks hire you to come to companies, to schools. You do workshops with staff and parent groups alike. And so I want to make sure that if somebody wants to get you, hire you, contract you to come out to a school group, to teachers, to a parent group, how can they reach you? How can they connect?
Absolutely. It is very easy to get in contact with me. If you need anything around children's mental health, the best place to reach out is just go to our website. You can get to me there, www.macmh.org. That's macmh.org, macmh.org. If you're looking for leadership training or training around, you know, trauma-informed care or something for businesses, you can contact me directly at my personal website. That's jegna.org. That's www.jegna.org. That's jegna.org, and I can get back to you there.
Well, Brandon, thank you so much for your time today. I know you've got your own children to take care of, but the fact that you spent almost 30 minutes with us helping us taking care of our children, I can't tell you how much we appreciate that.
Absolutely. No problem. I'm sure they appreciate it, too, because they just got 30 minutes of extra screen time. So they're enjoying it.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here. And you have an amazing weekend.
Absolutely. Everybody have an amazing weekend. Take the best care of yourself. These things do happen, unfortunately, but that doesn't mean that we can't find joy in our lives. Be well.
Amen. Thank you, Brandon. And you all stick around. We've got more to come. I love folks who get out in the community and make a difference, who help, who generate support, who create awareness. I tell you, and Miss Elizabeth Allen does all that and more. She is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline about an event that is coming up tomorrow. Okay, first of all, I am so glad that I got you on the show today. Thank you for making some time, because I would have been so upset had my listeners not found out about what you got coming up to help kids with cancer, because I know folks are going to want to participate. Girl, give us the scoop. What is happening?
Well, thank you for having me, Shaletta. First of all, big fan, as Shaletta knows, of the show and everything that you do. If we're talking about people who give back to the community, that's where we're at. Is Shaletta is number one on that list. So I am the CEO of Children's Cancer Research Fund, which is based in Bloomington, built here for the last 40 years, started with the $100 from a 13-year-old girl who was told that she was going to die of leukemia and said, please take my savings for my 10-speed bike and give it to Children's Cancer Research Fund. So that other kids don't have to go through this. Since then, we've raised more than $300 million for childhood cancer research, and we're not done yet. We've got a long way to go. So tomorrow, we're partnering with Great Wolf Lodge, a great partner based in Bloomington. Well, they're in Bloomington, the Great Wolf Lodge location. They're shutting down the park for us, Shaletta, from 2 to 8 tomorrow. We're bringing about 100 kids who have been touched by cancer and their families, and then we're selling tickets at half off to the general public. So you can go to the Great Wolf Lodge with your kids. You can teach them that it is good to give back, but also be the best parent in the world. They're going to love you for it, because for only $35, yes, they'll be able to hang out at Great Wolf Lodge and experience the park, which is a good deal. If anybody's tried to take their kids to Great Wolf Lodge, they know $35 is a really good deal. And that $35 all goes to Children's Cancer Research Fund. So you're making a huge difference to kids with cancer and future kids with cancer, to bring better treatments and cures so that we don't lose another kid to cancer in the future.
Okay, tell me this. How can I get these tickets? Because I got three kids that I got to find something to do with tomorrow. And this is an amazing opportunity. It's from 2 to 8, so we can go to church, we can have lunch, yep, we can come over to Great Wolf Lodge in Bloomington with the kiddos and just have a really good afternoon. And like you said, not only have fun at Great Wolf Lodge for half the price, right? Because when you start, yep, talking about taking three kids and two adults to Great Wolf Lodge on a regular day, that is very expensive. So to be able to do it for half the price and that money go to children's cancer research, I tell you, this is a win-win situation. So, girl, look, I don't need you to tell me nothing else except for where I can buy these tickets.
Absolutely. So I've sent the link, so hopefully you guys can put it on your website too, but it's ccrf.org/waves. Because we're making waves for childhood cancer. So ccrf.org/waves.
Okay, ccrf.org/wave. Here it is, Making Waves Against Childhood Cancer in partnership with Great Wolf Lodge. We're thrilled to bring you a one-of-a-kind experience, shutting down the park, limited number of guests, September 8th, Sunday, from 2 to 8 p.m. at Great Wolf Lodge in Bloomington. You can get tickets. You can buy them online 100%. This is what I really 100%. Need people to hear. 100% of ticket sales will benefit Children's Cancer Research Fund, and your mission is to improve the outcomes of children fighting cancer. Now, when we go to this, yep, website, we click and buy the tickets, and then we just show up at Great Wolf Lodge. How does this work?
Show up.
Okay.
You just show up, and you'll be on the list, and it'll all be good. You'll get tickets emailed to you too. But you don't have to do anything else besides that. I want to do a huge shout out to Great Wolf Lodge. They didn't shut down the park at 2 o'clock on a Monday. Like, they gave us a Sunday afternoon. So, it's a great opportunity to get out there and, just to make your, listeners a little bit more informed too. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease in kids. Number one. So, we need the research to do the work, and we need to do better by our kids. Our kids deserve better than that. And only 4% of federal funding goes to childhood cancer research. 4%. Our kids deserve better than that. And so that's our mission, is to bring them better outcomes and bring them cures so that we can make it, I can put myself out of a job, Shaletta. That's my goal.
Right. Right. And, I really appreciate the fact that you're having a fun event that we can do with our kids. A lot of times when people have these fundraisers, it's an event. You got to find a babysitter. You got to leave your kids at home. You got to buy a dress. You got to buy a girdle to fit in the dress. The shoes are uncomfortable. And you eat cold chicken or hard beef. But
my mother used to call it chicken with mystery sauce.
Baby. Okay, what is that white stuff oozing out of that chicken? I have no idea. But this is a fun event that, my kids are going to enjoy, that your kids will enjoy. If they've done a good job the first week of school, you can go out, enjoy it for half price. And like you said, it's not a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It's a Sunday afternoon, a great time after lunch where we can go and join, and, it'll mean something. And that'll give us an opportunity to talk to our children about giving back, about being 100%. A blessing to somebody else, about, making a difference. And so I just thank you, Miss Elizabeth, for being on the show, and applaud your efforts in your work. Now, you got to do it one more time. Give us this website again, because I want to make sure if anybody's looking for something to do tomorrow afternoon with their kids, they know about it.
They won't lose it. CCRF, Children's Cancer Research Fund, CCRF.org/waves
because you're making waves against childhood cancer. Well, thank you so much, Miss Elizabeth. I appreciate you being on the show, and I'm hopeful that my listeners who are looking for something fun for their kids to do, or even if you have grandkids. Right. Look at this, Miss Elizabeth. You got grandkids. They're going to be sitting at home on Sunday. Buy the tickets and send them to your daughter. Buy the tickets and send them to your son. Let them know, hey, I'm listening to Shaletta's show, and they're fighting pediatric cancer, and Great Wolf Lodge is half price. I've been promising I was going to send the kids over there. This is a great time. They don't have to go to school. You don't have to go to work. Y'all go over there, hang out, and have fun.
Exactly. I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too.
All right, y'all, stick around. We've got more to come. How exciting is this? So J.J. Murray told me he remembers who the first black woman was who won an Upper Midwest Emmy. It's Harris Faulkner. Remember, she was at Channel 5? She's on Fox News now. Okay, so if there's anybody out there who knows how to get in touch with Harris Faulkner, I would love to reach her, because I'm getting the Board of Governors Award at this year's Regional Midwest Emmy Ceremony on October 19th. And y'all know how I do when I get honored or something. I go all out. So I'm going to get a jacket with me holding my trophy, my Emmy, on the back of the jacket. But I wanted to get a photo of the first black woman who won an Upper Midwest Emmy and put that on a t-shirt. And so they said it's Harris Faulkner. And I'm like, oh my God, I love her. So I literally start working at KSTP 2 weeks after she left Channel 5. So I never physically met her. I never worked with her, but I would love to honor her when I get my award at the Emmys. And so if anybody out there in radio land knows Miss Harris Faulkner, can y'all please DM your girl, call Josh on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline, and put us in contact with her. because I would love to just reach out to her and say, hey, if you're not doing anything on October 19th, I would love to have you join me at the Emmys. And I'm going to put her shirt, her face on my shirt regardless, but I would still love to have her there. And you know who else is going to be there? My friend Beth Jett. So check out this story, y'all. God is good, I tell you. Back in 2007, when I got my first Emmy Award, it was for my website. ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com is the website now, but back then it was just Shaletta because it was just me. It wasn't a whole production company. I was just doing my comedy and my writing, and at the time everybody was blogging. The entry fee was like a couple hundred bucks. And so I had just enough money for the entry fee. I didn't have enough money for the entry fee and the ticket. So I devised a plan. I told Sean, we were married at the time. I said, listen, we're going to get a babysitter. And we're going to go to the award ceremony, but we don't have any money for tickets. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to sit outside of the venue. And then if we win, we're going to listen for our name. And if we win, then we'll go inside to get the award. But they have a real strict rule. If your name is not on the roll or you don't have a badge on, you can't get in the building. Right. You can't get in the venue. And so I said, oh, Lord, even if they call our name, I can't get in. Well, we're just going to sit out here. We'll see what happens. So we, you know, had a couple of drinks. We were sitting out there. We were waiting on our names to be called. And our category came up and I'm nervous. I'm thinking, Lord, I want to win. But even if I win, how the hell am I going to get in this room? I don't have a ticket because I didn't have any money to buy it. And so they called my name. I was the winner. And my friend Beth Jett from Channel 5 came running out into the lobby of that hotel. She took off her name badge and she put it on me. And walking in there, I was Beth Jett. So I walked up on stage with Beth Jett's name tag on and got my award. That's the only way I got in the room. And that was 2007. And look how far God has brought me and my family and my business in just those short few years. Here it is, 2024, and I'm not only buying tables for my entire team, I'm flying in my mom and dad, flying in my sister and my best friend, and we're all going to be over at the Mystic Lake Event Center on October 19th for the award ceremony. And it is just going to be such a fun time, and I'm not going to be worried about not having enough money to get in. I'm not going to be worried about sitting outside wondering if I'm going to win and how I'm going to get in the building if my name is called because I can't afford a ticket. I tell you, every day I pray for God's grace and mercy to be over my life. And I'm not trying to preach to you, but I'm telling you, I am a walking miracle and a testimony to the goodness of God. Because in just those few short years, my company has grown by leaps and bounds. My children who were once severely autistic are now thriving and talking and doing well in normal developing classrooms. And, the trouble that I had in 2007 about being able to get into the Emmys, I will not have in 2024. And I wish I could just run around this room and scream hallelujah, because I'm so grateful to how far God has brought me in those few short years. And y'all know Andrew went to college over at St. Cloud State. And so I'm a little upset by the Star Tribune headline. The headline says, "What happened to St. Cloud State?" I said, "Oh my Lord." And so I'm reading a story about all the majors that were cut and the enrollment decline and the programs that didn't work. And my heart is beating fast. And I know I was on Chad Hartman's show yesterday with Chris Eggert from Channel 5. And I said, Chris, I'm going to visit Andrew because I need to make sure he's all right. And he was like, no, Shaletta, don't go. You stay home. Andrew's good. He's got it. Don't bother him. But I'm here to tell you. This story, as a parent who is paying tuition, is bothersome and quite frightening. And I'm going to have Josh get the president of St. Cloud State on the show next week so we can talk about what is going on at the school. This story that is in the Star Tribune today, if you haven't seen it, especially if you have a child who is a student at St. Cloud State, I would suggest you click on it and check it out, because, I have some friends who graduated from several colleges down south that are no longer there. 4-year institutions that were handing out degrees that closed. Morris Brown College closed. And so friends of mine who were going to look for jobs or trying to get advanced degrees at other universities did not have access to the things that they needed to advance their careers or their education. So this is serious business. I'm not, spending all this money for this university to close or go bankrupt or struggle the way that this Star Tribune article says that it's doing. And so I'm praying that we can get the interim president on the show, Larry Dietz. He says St. Cloud State University's future is very bright as long as the institution lives within its means. And so I need to figure out what he means by live within its means. Do we need to raise tuition? Do we need to, they've already laid off and cut salaries. And so I just need to try to figure out what's going on. So he says he thinks the future is bright. He wouldn't have taken the job if he didn't think that. And it's he says it's really refreshing to kind of see the way that they are reshaping the organization to live within our means. That is his quote. And so I'll be talking to my son on Sunday at 4:00 is the time that we've set aside to chat virtually and to see each other. My friend, Miss Janine, next door, Miss Janine and Mr. Phil Kimmel call it a proof of life visit. So we will be having our proof of life visit tomorrow and talking about Andrew's future at St. Cloud State University. Hey, you guys don't go anywhere. I got a surprise. Chris Tubbs is coming up because Steve Thompson is off. So you guys stick around. Don't go anywhere. Enjoy Chris Tubbs while you're cleaning out your garage and running your errands. It's been the Shaletta Show. It's been fun. See you next week.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I tell you, my heart is heavy because it has happened again. On September 4th, two high school students and two teachers were killed in Georgia in the deadliest U.S. school shooting of 2024. A 14-year-old student has been charged with the deaths, along with that student's father. After a tragic event like this, the one that happened at Appalachia High School, parents, as well as caregivers, are going to play a crucial role in supporting our young people by providing a safe space for open communication as well as emotional expression. I knew that I was going to have that talk with my kids, even though they don't watch a lot of news, especially in the first couple of weeks of school, because we're busy with routine and schedule and after school activities. But Brandon and Cameron had walked to the middle school. They go a little bit early. I think check-in time for them is 7:40, so they leave here about 7:15. But Daniel doesn't go to school because he's in the special education program until a little bit later, around 8:30. And so I had just finished dropping Brandon off at school when I saw that the middle school was doing the drill. All the students were coming outside. They were going to their designated area. And this was the day after the school shooting in Georgia had taken place. And so I know that I don't have what I need to talk to my children properly. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to guide me. I need to know what to say to make sure it's effective, how to answer follow-up questions, because they're going to have many and plenty. And then how to make sure that they're safe in their hearts and in their minds and in their spirits. And so I lean on Brandon Jones. He is the executive director of the Minnesota Association for Children's Mental Health, as well as the host of It's Not Your Fault, a teen mental health podcast. He is joining us now. Brandon, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Now, Brandon, where do we start with our kids? I saw my children doing the drill, and I thought, I got to talk to them. I can't wait till the weekend. It's going to have to be now. I can't shield them from this, but I know when I talk to them, they're going to have anxiety. They're already going to be talking with their friends. They're doing the drill. How do we give them some peace and a feeling of safety and protection when now schools don't feel safe and the children don't feel protected?
Absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we have this happening in our society, and this is a reality. But as parents, caregivers, and, you know, caring adults in general, we have to offer as much reassurance to our kids as we can. We know that we can't offer 100% safety. These things can happen anywhere at any time. But it is part of our job and part of our duty to offer that level of comfort for our kids so they can keep doing what they need to do as young people, go to school, go to the park, have fun, even knowing that this world does have things that can be tragic happen. So offering that safe space, encouraging conversation, I think, is a very important thing to also do during this time. And then also making sure that the way we're responding and the information we're sharing to our children is at an age-appropriate level. Yes, this is a tragedy, but the children in our lives, especially if they're under the age, I would say, of maybe eight or seven, they might not need to know all the gory details. Sometimes just having the basics is just enough for our children. We don't want to overbearing them with so much information, even though it is a national tragedy and it's something that affects our hearts and our minds. And hopefully we'll never have to do this again. But unfortunately, in this society, we may have to. But we want to also give our young people some reassurance that they can live their lives as well.
Brandon, you are a father, podcaster, mental health professional. You said that you see a heightened level of anxiety, panic, and worry, as well as depression in young people. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, a lot of that is driven based off of where this current generation is in their engagement with social media. There is an information overload, I believe, that is out there. We cannot prevent it. I'm going to say that again. We cannot prevent it. We are 100% invested in this devices, Wi-Fi, social media, information. It's there. But what we can do is teach our children how to process through some of the information, how to take breaks when necessary, and then also how to ask questions based on what they see. Everything that you come across isn't always the most accurate thing, and you might need some other perspectives on what you are engaging in. And a lot of this is feeding some of this anxiety. A lot of our children are crowdsourcing their self-esteem through social media. They're looking for the likes. They're looking for the identity. They're looking for the belonging and the significance through social engagements online. And what's happening is they're suffering from a more in-person engagement, which means we have to be more intentional about the times that we do have in person and making sure that our kids are getting things that help build their values and help build their well-being habits.
Okay, I want to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want you to talk to me about how do we talk to them? How do we engage them? How do we validate their feelings and allow them to be a part of this healing process without rushing them? That is a crucial conversation that we're going to have with Brandon Jones when we come back. It is 2:17. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. And what is going on is another school shooting in Georgia. Happened earlier this week. And children across the country are having conversation with their parents. How do we talk to them? How do we engage them? How are we going to be a resource for our children without rushing them? And this is what happened to me. I said I was going to wait till the weekend to talk to my kids about it. We don't do a lot of TV during the week, especially the first week of school. So I'm thinking, you know, they're not going to hear about it. They're not going to know about it. And then I saw them walking out of the school doing the drills. And I said, they know. They're talking to their friends. They're asking questions from their teachers. But then when they got home, we had some stuff to do. We had an open house. I had a meeting. I had to record a podcast. We've got groceries and dishes and dinner to cook. And I did what Brandon Jones said, don't do. Don't rush them. Brandon is joining me now, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We're continuing this discussion. Brandon, because you said don't rush through this conversation. This is a very difficult conversation. Our young people want to express themselves about this disturbing school shooting, but we have to give them some time and space to do that. How do we do that as parents, Brandon, when we still got to do that laundry and we got these groceries and we got stuff to do?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things to encourage parents and caregivers to do, but you have to make the intentional time. And as I said, don't rush. You don't have to talk about every little detail now, and they don't need to have every understanding. But let the conversation just kind of slowly and naturally come to fruition. Talk about the well-being of your children. Talk about how comfortable and safe they do feel at school or in the community. Talk about, do they have any questions? I think one of the biggest things we can do when these situations happen is allow our children to ask questions and to answer those questions. I think a lot of times we are in a position of informing and not in a position of engaging in a conversation. And that conversation is important because young people, they know, a lot of times they understand and know more than we think. They just might not have the full context. So it's important for us to help them paint that picture.
And when we are painting that picture, do we sit them down in the living room and talk? Do we take them out to a restaurant and ask them if they have any questions? You know, how do we start that engagement? Because, Brandon, honestly, for some of us, we don't know the last time we really sat down and had a conversation with our kids. You know, we're rushing from school. We're rushing to soccer. We're rushing to hockey. We're coming home to finish laundry and do the dishes and make dinner. And, you know, they got to bathe and then we got to get ready for the next day. We got homework to do. Well, we ain't talking like we used to. And since we're out of practice, it's hard to get started again.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that this is beyond a tragedy. We have to get back to building a practice of engaging and slowing down. And again, you have to build in the intentionality. I'm not a big fan of making it a event to have this conversation. I don't think that that helps with the anxiety. I think that creates a memory of, oh, this bad thing happened, and I remember my parent took me to, you know, the restaurant. We talked about
okay.
it. It doesn't have to be an event. It should be more normalized. Oh, we talked about this while I was cleaning up my room, or we talked about this while we were sitting in the backyard, or we talked about this as we walked to the bus. It should be more normalized, because you want to be able to build a healthy habit around engaging around tough conversations with your children. And I think it's okay for those things to take place without making a bigger spectacle of what's already a spectacle in the social narrative.
Brandon, I tell you, you are giving us some good information, some food for thought. For those parents who are out there who know that they have to have this conversation with their children, who realize after listening to our discussion that they can't wait for the schools to have the conversation. They can't wait for the counselors or the social workers who are trained trauma, experts. They inform, they care. It's up to us, too, the supportive adults in their lives, the parents, the grandparents, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, to also be engaging in these discussions. Where do we get started?
I always say you start with a question. Did you hear about this? What do you know about it? If you didn't hear about it, have you ever heard about a school shooting? Has anyone at your school ever been hurt by someone? Asking questions, I think, is the best place to start, because that gives you an opportunity to gauge where your child or children may be on their thought process of what has happened and what's going on. And then from those questions, you can ask, do you have any questions? And that can be the conversation started. Now, we are in a space where a lot of young people will say, what are their favorite line? I don't know. And then you have to question the I don't know, right? But that's our kids. They don't know, because they're so used to just taking what they see on a screen and going with it that they haven't always developed that abstract or that critical thinking. So we have to kind of engage in that. But again, see where they're at as far as their level of understanding, and then inform them at their age-appropriate level, I think, is one of the best things that we can do. But overall, I think the bigger message of our conversation today is we have to start building opportunities to have just conversations that are uncomfortable but important with our kids, and allowing them to know that they can talk to us about anything. You are your child's primary influence. You help shape their worldview. Whether you talk to them or not, you're making an impact. And it's important for you to control some of the engagement of the impact if you can.
And one of the things that you talk about, Brandon, a lot of times is for us to pick up on those clues, because our young people may not be able to verbalize that. And some of the clues that you've informed me about when I was trying to make sure that my kids were okay and looking at them and listening to them, even when they're not talking, is, you know, if shower habits are changing, sleeping habits are changing, those are things that, you know, we don't think really twice about. But when you look up and say, this boy ain't bathed in 4 days, what is going on? That may be something that we need to be looking out for. That may be a sign. Can you talk to me about that? Because when you inform me about it, it was a game changer for me and my family. And I want to make sure that other parents out there have that same information that you provided to me.
Absolutely. Typically, parents know their kids best. Because you see them every day, right? You know when they're going to go get that snack or ask for it. You know when they're going to ask you, can they be on the device? You know when they're going to throw the fit. Like, you're paying attention. So anytime you notice a drastic shift, and what I mean by drastic is like complete change for what normally is going on, that's usually a telltale sign that something is happening. So are they eating more than they normally eat? Is it a growth spurt? Or is there something going on with them where they're over-consuming on snacks and food? Are they sleeping more or less than they normally sleep? Are they trying? Are they staying up overnight more? Are they going to bed sooner? What's happening? And then always paying attention to their body too. You know, are they going through puberty? Are they developing? Because sometimes that can be a part of it too. But if you don't think it's that, then you're just like, okay, what's going on? What are they processing? Because they will not always verbalize it. They will act out the behavior and the feelings. So I always point out to that. And hygiene is one of the biggest tools. Now, kids aren't the best at their hygiene. I don't know too many kids that like to brush their teeth. I don't know too many kids like to brush their hair. I don't know a lot of kids who want to take a bath. You almost have to force them to get into those habits sometimes. But it's important to pay attention. Are they doing those things? And when they are consistent at doing things, if they ever stop, that's when you notice, okay, something's happening here. And then that's when you have to step in and kind of lean in as the authority figure to say, hey, let's get these things together. Let's move forward. But when it comes to school shootings, though, this is one of the patterns that I would highly recommend that people pay attention to. If you notice that the young person in your life is hyper-focused on the details and information of the event, that may be a sign of concern, because now they could be what the psychological term is called trauma bonding, but they could be over-invested in this information, and that could be doing something for them. So pay attention. How are they consuming the understanding of what's happening? Are they over consuming in it? Because that may be also a concern that, okay, they are taking this and they are applying it to their life a little bit more than we would want them to.
Now, Brandon, I know you do trainings. Folks hire you to come to companies, to schools. You do workshops with staff and parent groups alike. And so I want to make sure that if somebody wants to get you, hire you, contract you to come out to a school group, to teachers, to a parent group, how can they reach you? How can they connect?
Absolutely. It is very easy to get in contact with me. If you need anything around children's mental health, the best place to reach out is just go to our website. You can get to me there, www.macmh.org. That's macmh.org, macmh.org. If you're looking for leadership training or training around, trauma-informed care or something for businesses, you can contact me directly at my personal website. That's jegna.org. That's www.jegna.org. That's jegna.org, and I can get back to you there.
Well, Brandon, thank you so much for your time today. I know you've got your own children to take care of, but the fact that you spent almost 30 minutes with us helping us taking care of our children, I can't tell you how much we appreciate that.
Absolutely. No problem. I'm sure they appreciate it, too, because they just got 30 minutes of extra screen time. So they're enjoying it.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here. And you have an amazing weekend.
Absolutely. Everybody have an amazing weekend. Take the best care of yourself. These things do happen, unfortunately, but that doesn't mean that we can't find joy in our lives. Be well.
Amen. Thank you, Brandon. And you all stick around. We've got more to come. I love folks who get out in the community and make a difference, who help, who generate support, who create awareness. I tell you, and Miss Elizabeth Allen does all that and more. She is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline about an event that is coming up tomorrow. Okay, first of all, I am so glad that I got you on the show today. Thank you for making some time, because I would have been so upset had my listeners not found out about what you got coming up to help kids with cancer, because I know folks are going to want to participate. Girl, give us the scoop. What is happening?
Well, thank you for having me, Shaletta. First of all, big fan, as Shaletta knows, of the show and everything that you do. If we're talking about people who give back to the community, that's where we're at. Is Shaletta is number one on that list. So I am the CEO of Children's Cancer Research Fund, which is based in Bloomington, built here for the last 40 years, started with the $100 from a 13-year-old girl who was told that she was going to die of leukemia and said, please take my savings for my 10-speed bike and give it to Children's Cancer Research Fund. So that other kids don't have to go through this. Since then, we've raised more than $300 million for childhood cancer research. And we're not done yet. We've got a long way to go. So tomorrow we're partnering with Great Wolf Lodge, a great partner based in Bloomington. Well, they're in Bloomington, the Great Wolf Lodge location. They're shutting down the park for us, Shaletta, from 2 to 8 tomorrow. We're bringing about 100 kids who have been touched by cancer and their families. And then we're selling tickets at half off to the general public. So you can go to the Great Wolf Lodge with your kids. You can teach them that it is good to give back, but also be the best parent in the world. They're going to love you for it, because for only $35, yes, they'll be able to hang out at Great Wolf Lodge and experience the park, which is a good deal. If anybody's tried to take their kids to Great Wolf Lodge, they know $35 is a really good deal. And that $35 all goes to Children's Cancer Research Fund. So you're making a huge difference to kids with cancer and future kids with cancer, to bring better treatments and cures so that we don't lose another kid to cancer in the future.
Okay, tell me this. How can I get these tickets? Because I got three kids that I got to find something to do with tomorrow. And this is an amazing opportunity. It's from 2 to 8, so we can go to church. We can have lunch. Yep. We can come over to Great Wolf Lodge in Bloomington with the kiddos and just have a really good afternoon. And like you said, not only have fun at Great Wolf Lodge for half the price, right? Because when you start talking about taking three kids and two adults to Great Wolf Lodge on a regular day, that is very expensive. So to be able to do it for half the price and that money go to children's cancer research, I tell you, this is a win-win situation. So, girl, look, I don't need you to tell me nothing else except for where I can buy these tickets.
Absolutely. So I've sent the link, so hopefully you guys can put it on your website too, but it's ccrf.org/waves. Because we're making waves for childhood cancer. So ccrf.org/waves.
Okay, ccrf.org/wave. Here it is, Making Waves Against Childhood Cancer in partnership with Great Wolf Lodge. We're thrilled to bring you a one-of-a-kind experience, shutting down the park, limited number of guests, September 8th, Sunday from 2 to 8 p.m. at Great Wolf Lodge in Bloomington. You can get tickets. You can buy them online 100%. This is what I really 100%. Need people to hear. 100% of ticket sales will benefit Children's Cancer Research Fund, and your mission is to improve the outcomes of children fighting cancer. Now, when we go to this website, we click and buy the tickets, and then we just show up at Great Wolf Lodge. How does this work?
You just show up, and you'll be on the list, and it'll all be good. You'll get tickets emailed to you too, but you don't have to do anything else besides that. I want to do a huge shout out to Great Wolf Lodge. They didn't shut down the park at 2 o'clock on a Monday. Like, they gave us a Sunday afternoon. So, it's a great opportunity to get out there and, just to make your, listeners a little bit more informed too. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease in kids. Number one. So we need the research to do the work, and we need to do better by our kids. Our kids deserve better than that. And only 4% of federal funding goes to childhood cancer research. 4%. Our kids deserve better than that. And so that's our mission, is to bring them better outcomes and bring them cures, so that we can make it, I can put myself out of a job, Shaletta. That's my goal.
Right. And, I really appreciate the fact that you're having a fun event that we can do with our kids. A lot of times when people have these fundraisers, it's an event. You got to find a babysitter. You got to leave your kids at home. You got to buy a dress. You got to buy a girdle to fit in the dress. The shoes are uncomfortable. And you eat cold chicken or hard beef. But
my mother used to call it chicken with mystery sauce.
Baby. Okay, what is that white stuff oozing out of that chicken? I have no idea. But this is a fun event that, my kids are going to enjoy, that your kids will enjoy. If they've done a good job the first week of school, you can go out, enjoy it for half price. And like you said, it's not a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It's a Sunday afternoon, a great time after lunch where we can go and join, and, it'll mean something. And that that'll give us an opportunity to talk to our children about giving back, about being 100%. A blessing to somebody else, about, you know, making a difference. And so I just thank you, Miss Elizabeth, for being on the show, and applaud your efforts in your work. Now, you got to do thank it one more time. Give us this website again, because I want to make sure if anybody's looking for something to do tomorrow afternoon with their kids, they know about it.
They won't lose it. CCRF, Children's Cancer Research Fund, CCRF.org/waves.
/waves, because you're making waves against childhood cancer. Well, thank you so much, Miss Elizabeth. I appreciate you being on the show, and I'm hopeful.
I appreciate you.
That my listeners who are looking for something fun for their kids to do, or you know what, even if you have grandkids. Right? Look at this, Miss Elizabeth. You got grandkids. You know they're going to be sitting at home on Sunday. Buy the tickets and send them to your daughter. Buy the tickets and send them to your son. Let them know, hey, I'm listening to Shaletta's show, and they're fighting pediatric cancer, and Great Wolf Lodge is half price. I've been promising I was going to send the kids over there. This is a great time. They don't have to go to school. You don't have to go to work. Y'all go over there, hang out, and have fun.
Exactly. I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too.
All right, y'all stick around. We've got more to come. How exciting is this? So J.J. Murray told me he remembers who the first black woman was who won an Upper Midwest Emmy. It's Harris Faulkner. Remember, she was at Channel 5? She's on Fox News now. Okay, so if there's anybody out there who knows how to get in touch with Harris Faulkner, I would love to reach her, because I'm getting the Board of Governors Award at this year's Regional Midwest Emmy Ceremony on October 19th. And y'all know how I do when I, you know, get honored or something. I go all out. So I'm going to get a jacket with me holding my trophy, my Emmy, on the back of the jacket. But I wanted to get a photo of the first black woman who won an Upper Midwest Emmy and put that on a t-shirt. And so they said it's Harris Faulkner. And I'm like, oh my God, I love her. So I literally start working at KSTP 2 weeks after she left Channel 5. So I never physically met her. I never worked with her, but I would love to honor her when I get my award at the Emmys. And so if anybody out there in radio land knows Miss Harris Faulkner, can y'all please DM your girl, call Josh on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline, and put us in contact with her. Because I would love to just reach out to her and say, hey, if you're not doing anything on October 19th, I would love to have you join me at the Emmys. And I'm going to put her shirt, her face on my shirt regardless. But I would still love to have her there. And you know who else is going to be there? My friend Beth Jett. So check out this story, y'all. God is good, I tell you. Back in 2007, when I got my first Emmy Award, it was for my website. ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com is the website now. But back then, it was just Shaletta, because it was just me. It wasn't a whole production company. I was just doing my comedy and my writing. And at the time, everybody was blogging. The entry fee was like a couple hundred bucks. And so I had just enough money for the entry fee. I didn't have enough money for the entry fee and the ticket. So I devised a plan. I told Sean, we were married at the time. I said, listen, we're going to get a babysitter. And we're going to go to the award ceremony, but we don't have any money for tickets. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to sit outside of the venue. And then if we win, we're going to listen for our name. And if we win, then we'll go inside to get the award. But they have a real strict rule. If your name is not on the roll, or you don't have a badge on, you can't get in the building. Right. You can't get in the venue. And so I said, oh, Lord, even if they call our name, I can't get in. Well, we're just going to sit out here. We'll see what happens. So we, you know, had a couple of drinks. We were sitting out there. We were waiting on our names to be called. And our category came up, and I'm nervous. I'm thinking, Lord, I want to win. But even if I win, how the hell am I going to get in this room? I don't have a ticket, because I didn't have any money to buy it. And so they called my name. I was the winner. And my friend Beth Jett from Channel 5 came running out into the lobby of that hotel. She took off her name badge and she put it on me. And walking in there, I was Beth Jett. So I walked up on stage with Beth Jett's name tag on and got my award. That's the only way I got in the room. And that was 2007. And look how far God has brought me and my family and my business in just those short few years. Here it is, 2024, and I'm not only buying tables for my entire team, I'm flying in my mom and dad, flying in my sister and my best friend, and we're all going to be over at the Mystic Lake Event Center on October 19th for the award ceremony. And it is just going to be such a fun time. And I'm not going to be worried about not having enough money to get in. I'm not going to be worried about sitting outside wondering if I'm going to win and how I'm going to get in the building if my name is called because I can't afford a ticket. I tell you, every day I pray for God's grace and mercy to be over my life. And I'm not trying to preach to you, but I'm telling you, I am a walking miracle and a testimony to the goodness of God. Because in just those few short years, my company has grown by leaps and bounds. My children who were once severely autistic are now thriving and talking and doing well in normal developing classrooms. And, you know, the trouble that I had in 2007 about being able to get into the Emmys, I will not have in 2024. And I wish I could just run around this room and scream hallelujah, because I'm so grateful to how far God has brought me in those few short years. You know, and y'all know Andrew went to college over at St. Cloud State. And so I'm a little upset by the Star Tribune headline. The headline says, "What happened to St. Cloud State?" I said, "Oh, my Lord. What?" And so I'm reading a story about all the majors that were cut and the enrollment decline and the programs that didn't work. And my heart is beating fast. And I know I was on Chris on Chad Hartman's show yesterday with Chris Eggert from Channel 5. And I said, "Chris, I'm going to visit Andrew because I need to make sure he's all right." And he was like, "No, Shaletta, don't go. You stay home. Andrew's good. He's got it. Don't bother him." But I'm here to tell you, this story, as a parent who is paying tuition, is bothersome and quite frightening. And I'm going to have Josh get the president of St. Cloud State on the show next week so we can talk about what is going on at the school. This story that is in the Star Tribune today, if you haven't seen it, especially if you have a child who is a student at St. Cloud State, I would suggest you click on it and check it out because, you know, I have some friends who graduated from several colleges down south that are no longer there. 4-year institutions that were handing out degrees that closed. Morris Brown College closed. And so friends of mine who were going to look for jobs or trying to get advanced degrees at other universities did not have access to the things that they needed to advance their careers or their education. So this is serious business. I'm not, you know, spending all this money for this university to close or go bankrupt or struggle the way that this Star Tribune article says that it's doing. And so I'm praying that we can get the interim president on the show, you know, Larry Dietz. He says St. Cloud State University's future is very bright as long as the institution lives within its means. And so I need to figure out what he means by live within its means. Do we need to raise tuition? Do we need to, you know, they've already laid off and cut salaries. And so I just need to try to figure out what's going on. So So he says he thinks the future is bright. He would have he wouldn't have taken the job if he didn't think that. And it's he says it's really refreshing to kind of see the way that they are reshaping the organization to live within our means. That is his quote. And so I'll be talking to my son on Sunday at 4 o'clock is the time that we've set aside to chat virtually and to see each other. My friend, Miss Janine, next door, Miss Janine and Mr. Phil Kimmel call it a proof of life visit. So we will be having our proof of life visit tomorrow and talking about Andrew's future at St. Cloud State University. Hey, you guys don't go anywhere. I got a surprise. Chris Tubbs is coming up because Steve Thompson is off. So you guys stick around. Don't go anywhere. Enjoy Chris Tubbs while you're cleaning out your garage and running your errands. It's been the Shaletta Show. It's been fun. See you next week.